Welcome, everyone, to This Week at St. Luke's, a special podcast series that we're going to be hosting on Thursdays to tell you a little bit about what's going on in the United Methodist denomination globally. In a couple weeks, we're going to be attending the General Conference, which happens particularly every 4 years, but because of COVID, we haven't had one since 2019. And so we wanted to let you know a little bit about what was going on and how General Conference works. It is the only voting body of the United Methodist denomination, and it holds delegates worldwide who will vote on issues of our Book of Discipline found in our polity, and also what we believe in our social creed. And so because we're in this Eastertide servant series on St. Luke's on purpose and what it means to live into the resurrection with more power and more unity and more inclusion, we thought this was a good time to kind of begin to prime you and let you know what is General Conference and how does our denomination work and what will be talked about before you hear about it in the news or as we talk about it in the congregation. So to work with us and to help kind of educate everyone and get everyone on the same playing field about what General Conference is, we did a special podcast with myself and Pastor Jad and two of our conference lay leaders here in the Florida United Methodist Annual Conference, our own St. Luke, Alice Williams and Derek Scott. And so each week we'll be talking about what General Conference is, what has happened in the past, and where we're going. So let's begin.
Well, grace and peace, and welcome to a special episode of Your Week with St. Luke's. I'm Pastor Jad, and we're here with our lead pastor, Jen, and we are here with two special friends, a St. Luker who you all know, Alice Williams, who is our co-lay leader, and Derek Scott III, who a lot of you know because he's preached at St. Luke's before as well, our other co-lay leader. And we're excited about this episode, which, depending on how well this goes, it might turn into 2, 3, 4, a whole mini series, because, you know, we've got some interesting things to talk about. And these two beloved friends will be delegates to General Conference, which is coming up in a few weeks, April 23rd through May 4th. And we want to spend some time talking about the United Methodist Church, General Conference, what to think about and pray for as we get closer to it, as it happens, and what it looks like after all that's done. So welcome, friends. Glad you're here, Derek.
It's good to be here.
So yeah, let's start with the first question. For anyone who is either not United Methodist or even is United Methodist, what is General Conference?
Well, friends, if you have your Book of Discipline, paragraph number 501 talks about what General Conference is. And here's the thing. The Methodist Church is, to do this, you kind of got to get a little bit bigger, just for a minute. Just bear with me for a minute, just a little bit bigger. So founded, if you will, in 1968, when we merged with AMC Church as the African Episcopal Methodist Church.
Evangelical United Brethren. Yeah.
No, it was gonna mess
that's
up.
That's all good. Yeah.
Derek, you want to say that part? So don't mess it up. So basically start from 1968, but then that this becomes the governing body is what I was going to try to get to.
Yeah.
So we become this United Methodist Church, 1968. And from there, I mean, we already have a history of meeting in General Conferences. And so General Conference essentially is a gathering of delegates from every annual conference in the United Methodist Church worldwide. So every annual conference, regardless of how big it is or small it is, there are individuals who have been selected, usually elected from every annual conference across the worldwide connection, and they gather usually about every 4 years. Sometimes there are global pandemics that shake up that calendar a little bit, but about every 4 years, all of these delegates will gather together to really consider how we organize ourselves as a church, specifically around our book of discipline, which is our constitution and is our bylaws, and it is are all of the things that make us who we are, at least on paper, our policies and procedures, and again, how we organize ourselves as a church. And it's a pretty, pretty big deal. And Alice and I'll speak for Alice because I think she'll agree, we're honored to represent and be delegates from the Florida Conference at this year's General Conference.
Yeah, well, we're honored to have, go ahead, Alice.
I just was going to say, and the thing about the General Conference is it is the only body that can speak for the United Methodist Church. Bishops mm-hmm. can't speak for it. They can talk about things that they, you know, feel are important. They can talk about mm-hmm. their annual conferences in which they lead, that kind of thing. But the bishops don't speak for the church. The local church doesn't speak for the United Methodist Church. The districts that we belong to, the annual conferences, the jurisdictional conferences, all of the tiering that we have that goes all the way up. The only thing that really speaks for the United Methodist Church is the body that gathers at General Conference and oversees the legislation and the work of the church, the setting of the budget and that kind of thing. So that's awesome.
No, it's helpful. And other ways I've heard people talk about it is it's the legislative branch of our governance, right? And you mentioned that legislation. So
yeah,
we're so honored to have both of you represent the Florida Conference as delegates. So who are the delegates of General Conference?
Yeah, how does that get voted on, and
how do you become a delegate?
What is and how come? Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Tell Alice, you start and I'll pick it up.
Kind of me being a storyteller. So all I ever wanted to do was just to go to a general conference to see what it was like. I volunteered at 2012 when the mm-hmm. general conference was in Tampa. I thought, oh, that'd be a good time to go see what one looks like. And it was fascinating to me because it was like a church meeting on steroids. It was cool, right? Because it was from people all over the world, right, who come to you know, Methodists from all over the world that represent different countries, cultures, you know, all of that. And it was really lovely, and it was hard. There was a lot of stuff, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but there was a lot of stuff that came out of 2012 that led us into kind of where we're at. But all I wanted to do was just go see what one was like to be a delegate. I'd been involved at St. Luke's. I'd been a lay leader for St. Luke's. I'd been a lay leader for the district that we're in, the East Central District. I was even, you know, looking at lay leader with my esteemed partner here, Mr. Derek Scott III. And I just thought, wouldn't it be neat to be able to go to a general conference? And so what you do is basically you volunteer, you put your name in, and you write up a little blurb, and it goes to annual conference. So in 2016, we had the annual conference, and we were elected by the body. They read those blurbs, and some of us got to speak, that kind of stuff. And they elect the number of delegates. And here's the thing, the delegates are made of an equal number of clergy and of laity. And each annual conference is allowed so many delegates based on the number of clergy that they have in that annual conference, as well as the number of official members in the Methodist Church. So even if your church has a lot of people that don't join as members, you only are allowed so many delegates to attend, right? So that gives you the number of delegates that can be elected. It has to be somewhere between 600 and 1,000 from around the world, according to the Book of Discipline. This year, I think we're going to have, and Derek, you'll know this better than I, but it's 800 and some odd, I believe, is the
number. Yeah, I think we're around 860-ish, something like that.
I think it's 860, yeah. But don't quote me to that. So that's kind of where we are. And so both Derek and I put our names in, and we were elected. There are others as well. But we were elected, and that's how that's done. And so what's funny about that is I only wanted to go to one. I ended up going to 2016, as did Derek, and that led to the fact that there was a special called conference in 2019, and those of us who were delegates in 2016 asked to go to that. We didn't get voted on or any of that. It was just, you got to go to that. And the pandemic and whatnot, we were supposed to have one in 2020, a scheduled general conference in 2020. We put our names in the hat again. We were elected for that. That didn't happen because of the pandemic. And so now we're playing catch up, if you will. When we go to Charlotte in April, it will actually be the catch up, if you will, to 2020. It's general conference 2024, but it's the catch up to 2020.
Yeah. I'll just add.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just add two things. One, everything that Alice said, and the laity elect laity, and clergy elect clergy. So it is sort of the will of the body at annual conference, both the clergy and the lay members to annual conference. But laity are voting on lay folk who will go to be delegates and clergy and so on. So that's one piece I just want to name. And the other piece I want to name, speaking of our worldwide connection, I just think it's important. You know, when we think about elections, we are U.S. citizens who that we understand democracy in many ways, right? They're like, okay, these are the folks, this is the slate, or these are the individuals, and then we get to have a choice in the matter. And I just want to name that we have a worldwide denomination that, yes, technically, all the delegates are elected by their annual conferences, but democracy doesn't always look the same across the planet. And so sometimes it's a little bit different. Like in Florida, it definitely, these are the names that have self-selected into the pool or been nominated into the pool. Sometimes it may be a group of individuals selected by a bishop. And then the annual conference either assents to the whole or to specific. And some of this is just understanding that democracy is native to us in the US. Mm-hmm. It is not necessarily native to everyone across the worldwide connection. And this is where we have to continue to think about the ways that the United Methodist Church is very US-centric, even in ways that we think about General Conference being the legislative body. Like that's that is a US-centric kind of, and I go into it thinking that, and for some folks across the planet, General Conference is not really about legislation. It's really about getting together with the church and having many days of church that also includes some voting. So just to name that, like these are things that we're all learning, like literally daily, of just the ways that General Conference is very US-centric, and we're thinking about how we decenter the US as we continue as United Methodist Church. That was a whole lot. Hopefully it was helpful. I'll stop now.
It's an important distinction.
I was gonna ask about like how many, well, the delegation mix globally in the United States, but I'm glad you said that because 25 years in ministry, I've never once heard anyone say that. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Now I have never gone to General Conference, but even in my annual conference, when we prepare for the voting, never have I heard that said. So thank you for lifting that up and for, again, decentering, you know, not only the US, but decentering, I'll say, you know, the white colonization of how we do things sometimes. Right. White, not
in the US centric
color. But yeah.
And becoming more and more apparent and more important in the future of our denomination, because it's not going to be too much longer if things, the growth that happens around the world is continuing, that we in the U.S. will not be the majority of the United Methodist Church.
Right.
And that actually could happen here within the next maybe 2028. General Conference. So that's
the thing
about. Yeah.
Which we have to ask ourselves. So what's God doing in other parts of the world? And it's not that God's not doing God's work here. We just may not be picking up and meeting God in that work here.
Yeah.
So, but that's for another podcast.
Right. Yes.
Do you know the makeup of how many like the worldwide versus United States delegates?
I think we're 40% of the voting delegates. I think. Okay. What did you say?
About 43.
And that's based on numbers from 2020, I believe. No, actually, it goes back further than that, I think, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because we voted in 2019.
You're right. You're right. So those numbers, and a word about how we get those numbers. There's a formula and it exists. You could dig into the book of this one to find the formula, but essentially there's a formula that looks at the number of members within an annual conference in comparison to the full membership of the church, and then allocates a certain number of delegates to each annual conference. And every annual conference gets at least two delegates, one clergy, one laity. So there's no matter how big that annual conference is, if there's only two people in that annual conference, which is probably not an annual conference if there's only two people. But if there's only two people in that annual conference and it's still an official annual conference, there are two delegates that get voice and vote on behalf of that annual conference at General Conference. And so that, right. That formula, again, is out there. And I don't have that formula in front of mind, but it exists. Yes.
I don't know the formula, but there are what they call submissionary conferences. And so that was put into the Book of Discipline mm-hmm. to ensure that even those places had voice. Mm-hmm. And so this I wanted to kind of just lift it up one more time. So we have the General Conference, which is all of the church. The General Conference is broken into the jurisdictional conferences in the U.S., of which there are five, right? We're part of the Southeast jurisdiction, which is actually mm-hmm. the largest of the jurisdictions. And then in outside of the U.S., they're what they call central conferences. And there are seven of those. And that would be, there's three in Africa, one in Germany, one in Central and Southern Europe, one in Northern Europe and Eurasia, and then one in the Philippines. So all of those kind of comprise who we are as United Methodist. There's another little kind of tidbit that happens. There are four concordant agreements that we have with churches, and they actually are able, these four concordant church affiliations are mm-hmm. able to send two people each. So there's eight delegates that will mm-hmm. be there. One is from England, one is Puerto Rico, one is Mexico, and then one is the Methodist Church in the Caribbean, which represents 13 of the Caribbean islands. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what makes up, you know, kind of who all, that's who will be there at annual conference. Plus, we can have up to 71 bishops. I think we right now have 59, if I'm not mistaken, that'll be presiding. I could be mm-hmm. off on that a little bit, but yeah. Now, interesting thing about the bishops, just
yeah,
bishops have voice but no vote.
No vote.
So they're not there to vote. They are there to preside. That's their main function in this. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And I will say that one of the really cool parts of going to a general conference, it is probably what I would call the highest form of church in some ways that the Methodist Church has, happens at the very beginning, at least it did for me. And that is you see everyone rises and the bishops process in, and often they are dressed in their native garb, you know, that kind of, it's just that, I mean, that's kind of breathtaking because it really does make you realize how important our connection around the world is, how yeah. far our witness has become, and how much further we have to go. So,
it is powerful, the worship experiences as well, and multiple languages, and so worship happens. What else typically happens during General Conference? I gave the dates, April 23rd through May 4th. That's 2 weeks. What happens during those 2 weeks? Is it all worship?
All worship? Yeah. Is it all? What goes on?
Yeah, so we start with organizing ourselves as a conference. So there are motions that need to be affirmed by the body so that we can actually do the work of General Conference. You know, certain bodies that can't begin their work until we as the General Conference plenary say, yes, you get to do your work. So we start there. We start with that organizing time. It's very similar at annual conference. At the very beginning of annual conference, we do some organizing work, setting the bar of the conference, being okay with certain people taking minutes and things like that. And then we actually go into some deep work. We break up into legislative committees. And for those who have the visual, Alice actually has all of the legislation that is in print, because we also have legislation that is only digital. It would be ridiculous to think that every single person going to General Conference would be responsible for looking through every piece of legislation. I mean, we're talking thousands of pieces of legislation, some which are copies of others, some are just like revisions of change that A to AND so that we like actually have grammar correct. And some are like major amendments, right? Like all across the board. There's no way that we could deal with all of that as a full body. And so we have all of the delegates to General Conference have been broken up into legislative committees. Alice, you want to say a word about just the legislation? Yeah.
So here's the thing right now in particular, be praying for our delegates, all of them, because they're in the throes of trying to get prepped for General Conference. And that means that they're reading. They're reading, reading, reading. These are from actually 2020, what would have been 2020. There's been additional stuff that's been added, other legislations. So it's about 1,700 or 1,800 pages of legislation that we're going through. That's just one, that's one part of it. And in that legislation, it's all about one of two things typically. One is to change the book of discipline, make changes or amendments to the things that are in this book. All of that legislation is submitted to make some form of either change or amendment to this. The other part has to do with a thing called the Book of Resolutions. And that's going to be important as we talk a little bit more about this particular General Conference, because something very important is going to happen there. Yeah. But those resolutions talk not about the legislative stuff, but it talks about what we believe, what we resolve ourselves to be as United Methodists. And it has every bit as much importance on who we are as United Methodists as does our Book of Discipline. Because it really identifies aspirationally as well as, intrinsically, who we are as United Methodists and what our witness is in the world around us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But both of those things are going to become very, very important. And we're in the process of trying to do all the reading to that. And, oh, by the way, most of this we're trying to do online. There are a lot of people who are struggling with the fact that they don't have a book or whatever to read. I've marked up the stuff that I had from 2020 because I didn't have it electronically, but all that we're doing with 2024 is mostly electronic now. So we're trying to be good stewards and not kiltrons.
So we're going to break up in these legislative committees, and there's 14 legislative committees. I am on the conferences committee. Alice is on superintendency and higher education.
Right, yes.
Higher education and superintendency. But you've got other committees, faith order. And order, financial administration, judicial administration, general administration, church and society has three different legislative committees. You've got local church, you've got independent commissions. I don't know if I know I haven't named them all. I'm missing many of them, but essentially all of the legislation has been broken up into different legislative committees. They've been assigned to different legislative committees. And so in each of those committees, the first few days of General Conference, we'll be spending time in our committees, poring over those pieces that have been assigned to us, and we'll be perfecting those pieces. Will be deciding maybe, you know, specifically because of this particular General Conference, you know, that was written for the 2020 General Conference for a pre-COVID, pre-disaffiliation, all kinds of things world, right? And so it's just no longer relevant. It no longer makes sense in the world that we live in now. And so that those committees will be looking over all of that legislation, and they will essentially be deciding what legislation is going to go before the full plenary the second week. And so the second week that we gather, we'll gather as a plenary, as a full body, to consider the pieces of legislation that committees have sent to the plenary. There's some other different pathways by which legislation gets to the plenary. We might want to go deep into the weeds on that. We don't necessarily have to, but there's many different ways. But the primary way that legislation gets to the floor of General Conference is through committees. And so it's really, really important work. Really detailed work. In fact, those committees often will break up into subcommittees and then break up the work even further. And so it's just, oh man, it just, which I'm a nerd, y'all. I love it all. But yes, it's super deep in the weeds. But that's what delegates to General Conference are there for, to get deep into the weeds of this work.
We are a democratic organization, is the method, and we like committees, right? Yeah. And just to add to that, a lot of that, so we read all of this, but a lot of it will never see light of day. It'll never get out of committee because one of two things, it may be bundled with stuff that's similar. So we don't have to deal with each piece of legislation, but we may deal with a topic that the legislation is related to. Or the fact is, as Derek said, it's just no longer relevant, nor does this seem that it's a time. And there's a lot of discernment about, you know, is this the right time for this piece of legislation to go forward or not? Mm-hmm. The things that you will hear that comes out of General Conference, though, is mostly going to be focused on what happens in the plenary sessions themselves that second week. That is the most, I would say, the most critical time, because it's not that all of this isn't important, because it's certainly what builds the foundation for it and leads to it, but where the decisions and the votes come that really affect us and who we are, it comes out of that second week of plenary.
So we'll hear more the second week, like nationally or through your conference and things like that, right? Because the legislative committees are closed, aren't they?
Some are, some are not.
Okay.
Right.
They set the rules.
There are observers who will be assigned to different legislative committees. There are many agencies of our church that have submitted legislation, and they are not allowed to influence the direction of the legislation, but they can be called upon to speak to the legislation they've put forward. So for instance, GBHEM has put forward some legislation, and so they will have a representative sitting in Alice's, it probably will be Alice's committee. She'll probably be in charge. And in that space, if there's a question about one of those GBHEM petitions, someone from that agency can be called to speak to that legislation. They don't have a vote, and they have a voice only because they've been asked to speak to it. Maybe the reason why it exists, or why they use this word versus that word, that kind of thing. But some are definitely closed. And I'll just say that this General Conference, I know that often the first week is legislative committee, second week is plenary, we just have to pay attention. You know, so much is different about, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later, this General Conference. And so, yes, there is a tendency for the first week to be legislative committees, and not a whole lot comes out of that for public consumption. And it tends to be that the second week is where a lot of action happens. But I would just be ready for the fact that we are entering into a new season of the United Methodist Church, which includes this General Conference.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We love that. Yeah. That sounds me. I don't know what that means, but I like it. But GBHEM, by the way, is the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry, which oversees all of our colleges, universities, seminaries, scholarships,
ordination, what the requirements are to be ordained.
Ordained.
Right. People going into the ministry, campus ministry, all of those things. Because again, many, many colleges and universities in the United States, but also around the world, were started by the Methodists.
That's right.
Any of you have children and grandchildren that go to a Methodist university, and you may not even know it.
Right.
One thing to keep in mind too, part of what you may hear that first week, in particular, I think one of the groups will be GCFNA, our general financing stuff, because I think that there may be some leads that come out of that. And that's another thing that's important too, is we do try to listen to what happens in different subcommittee if we can, because that can impact, right? It could have a downstream effect. What Derek might be doing in his might have some impact in something that we might be looking at in mine. So every day we get updates, a little bit of hearing of some of the most important things that come out of some of those subcommittees work. And it can have an impact. So you may hear some stuff. And I do think that there might be some things that we might hear again, because it's been a while since we've done one. And I do think GCFNA, that might be one where we hear something.
Thanks for listening. I know that was a lot of information. If you'd like to know more or kind of don't understand some of the words you heard, a great resource is umc.org. This website has everything you need to know about how the United Methodist Church is organized, what words like apportionments mean, and delegations, and some of those kind of acronyms that we use, like GFCNA, so General Church of Finance, and things like that. So you can go and look in umc.org and kind of get a thesaurus of how our denomination works. Next week, we'll be coming back with Allison Derrick, and we're going to talk about what happened in 2019 at a specially called General Conference, which was particularly for one discussion, how the United Methodist Church handles human sexuality and our understanding of inclusivity. It was a really difficult year, and I am proud of the way St. Luke's responded since 2019 to help the denomination move forward. So you're going to get to hear all about that. It's not going to be an easy one to listen to, but it's got a lot of information, and you're going to be really proud, not only of St. Luke's, but of Alice Williams, and especially of our Florida United Methodist Annual Conference. And it'll give you a little hope about what's to come. So we'll see you next week.